All right, so have you ever looked at something like a plastic phone case and wondered how they make it so precise?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's pretty amazing how injection molding can create such intricate details.
Right, like it's not just pouring plastic into a mold. There's some serious engineering going on there. And today we're going to do a deep dive into the heart of it all, the injection mold itself.
Yeah, we're gonna break down the key parts and really understand how they all work together to make those perfect little plastic products we use every day.
Exactly. So think about it. You're holding your phone case, feels pretty solid, right? That all starts with the mold frame.
It's kind of like the foundation of a house, you know? The mold frame's got to be strong enough to handle all that pressure when the molten plastic gets injected. It's basically the backbone of the whole process.
Okay. Strong frame, strong product. Got it.
Yeah.
But our research mentioned different types of frames like large gate and fine gate. What's the difference?
So those terms refer to the opening where the molten plastic enters the mold. A large gate lets you inject the plastic faster, which is good for simpler, high-volume stuff. Like, think about those takeout containers you get. You need to make a lot of those quickly.
Speed over detail.
But
So what about fine gate then?
fine gate is all about those super detailed things. Like, imagine a really intricate action figure with all those tiny little features. You need a slower, more controlled injection to capture all those details. So fine gate is the way to go for that.
Okay, so I'm picturing this strong frame holding it all together.
Yeah.
But how do you keep the two halves of the mold perfectly aligned during injection? Was the plastic just squish out the sides if they weren't?
That's a great question, and the answer is guide parts. These little guys are all about precision. They make sure the mold opens and closes smoothly with no side-to-side movement that could mess things up.
Guide parts for the win. But I noticed in our notes that guide pins come in different sizes, like 16 millimeter, 20 millimeter, 25 millimeter. Why be so specific?
It all comes down to the size of the mold. A bigger mold needs bigger guide pins to keep everything aligned and stable. It's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. If you use a tiny pin on a big mold, you're just asking for trouble.
Misaligned mold, messed up product.
Got it. So we've got the frame, the guide parts. Now, what happens once the plastic is injected and it takes shape? How do you get the product out without breaking it?
Ah, the grand finale. That's where the ejector system comes in. This system gently pushes the product out of the mold once it's cooled and hardened. It makes sure the product doesn't get stuck or
This
damaged.
is like a carefully planned escape route for the plastic.
Pretty much. You've got ejector pins, plates, fixing plates all working together to give that product a smooth exit. And just like those guide pins, the size of the ejector pins is super important.
I bet using a giant pin on a tiny, delicate product would be disastrous, right?
Yeah, it would be like trying to extract a splinter with a sledgehammer. You got to match the pin size to the product. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so far we've got our solid frame, our guide parts, and our ejector system. But how do we actually get that molten plastic into the mold in the first place?
Excellent question. That's where the gating system comes in. It's basically a carefully engineered pathway that guides the molten plastic from the injection nozzle into the mold cavity.
So it's like a highway for molten plastic.
Exactly. And just like a highway, you don't want any potholes or detours.
No obstructions, got it. But our research mentioned different types of gates. Why is that?
Well, think about trying to pour a thick milkshake through a tiny straw. It's not going to work very well, right?
Uh-oh.
Same with molten plastic. If the gate is too small or the wrong shape, you're going to have problems with flow air pockets defects.
Sounds messy.
It can be. So you got to pick the right gate for the job. You've got edge gates, tunnel gates, fan gates. Each one is designed for different product shapes and materials.
It's all about finding the right path for the plastic.
You got it.
This is so cool. It's like a puzzle where every piece has to fit perfectly.
Thank
Okay,
you.
so we've got the plastic flowing through the gate, filling up the mold. What happens next?
Well, then comes the cooling. It's not just about waiting for the plastic to harden. You have to control the temperature carefully to make sure it solidifies properly.
Cooling, huh? What could go wrong there?
Well, think about what happens when you put a hot pan in cold water.
Oh, it warps?
Exactly. Same thing can happen with plastic if it cools too fast or unevenly. You can end up with warped parts, inconsistent dimensions, or even weak spots in the product.
So cooling is super important.
It is, and it involves a whole system of cooling channels and components designed to remove heat from the mold and keep the temperature stable.
Cooling channels, huh? Tell me more.
We'll imagine a network of tiny waterways running through the mold. Coolant, typically water flows through these channels, absorbing heat from the hot plastic and keeping the mold at the right temperature. It's like a miniature plumbing system, making sure the heat is distributed evenly.
So these channels are strategically placed,
yeah.
I'm guessing?
Oh, absolutely. The placement size, even the thread size of the cooling water pipe joints, all of that can affect how well the mold cools.
Whoa, hold on. Thread size. You're talking about the connections for the cooling channels, right?
Yeah, exactly. The size of those connections matters because it affects how much coolant can flow through.
Yeah.
A larger diameter pipe means more coolant can flow, so it cools faster.
So it's all about finding the right balance.
Right. You need enough flow to cool the mold efficiently, but not so much that it causes problems.
This is blowing my mind. Every little detail matters.
It really does. And we haven't even talked about water baffles yet.
Water baffles? What are those?
They're like tiny traffic cops inside the cooling system. They direct the flow of coolant to make sure the temperature is consistent throughout the mold.
So they're like the masterminds of the cooling system.
You could say that. They're crucial for preventing hot spots and making sure the plastic cools evenly.
Okay, so we've covered the frame, the guide parts, the ejector system, the gating system, and now the cooling system. Wow. It's amazing how each part has its own job and they all work together.
It is pretty incredible, isn't it? It's like a perfectly choreographed dance of engineering.
I'm starting to see the bigger picture now. But anything surprise you so far?
Honestly, I think the level of precision involved is just mind-blowing. Every little detail matters, from the size of the guide pins to the diameter of the cooling pipes.
It's insane. It's like a whole world of precision we never even knew existed.
And speaking of precision, there's another aspect we need to talk about, and that's the relationship between all these components and the efficiency of the molding process.
Efficiency. Okay, I'm listening.
So if your cooling system isn't efficient, it's going to take longer for the plastic to solidify, which means longer cycle times, and you can't make as many products.
So a good cooling system means more products faster.
Exactly. And that's where those water baffles really come in handy. But more on that later. For now, let's take a closer look at those ejector parts and how their design can affect cycle times.
Let's do it. I'm ready for more.
Okay, great. So before we got sidetracked by those ejectors, we were talking about how important cooling is for efficiency.
Right. The faster those products cool down, the faster you can make more of them.
Exactly. And that's where those water baffles we mentioned really shine. They're like a... I guess you could say they're like air traffic controllers, making sure everything's flowing smoothly. But in this case, they're directing the coolant inside the mold.
So it's not just about cold water.
Yeah.
It's about making sure it hits all the right spots.
You got it. A well-designed cooling system with those baffles in the right places prevents a lot of problems.
Yeah.
You know, like warping or weak spots in the final product.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so back to those ejector systems. We talked about how they're important for getting the product out of the mold. What are some of the things you got to think about when designing them?
Well, one of the most important things is the speed and force of those ejector pins. If they move too slow, it slows down the whole cycle. But if they're too strong, you could damage the product, especially if it's something delicate.
So it's got to be like a Goldilocks situation.
Exactly. Not too fast, not too slow, just right. And it's not just about speed and force. The number of ejector pins and where they're placed also matters.
How so?
Think about trying to open a stuck window with only one hand. It's way easier with two hands pushing evenly right. Same idea with ejecting a product. You want multiple pins pushing evenly to avoid damage.
It's a team effort.
Uh-huh, yeah. And the design of the ejector system itself can also affect cycle times. Some systems use spring-loaded pins that retract really fast after pushing the product out.
That's smart. So it's all about shaving off those precious seconds.
Every second counts, especially when you're making thousands or millions of units.
Right. So how does all this technical stuff actually benefit manufacturers?
Good question. Let's say you're making those phone cases we talked about. If you can save just 1 second per cycle by tweaking the ejector system, it might not seem like much.
But it adds up.
It definitely does. Multiply that 1 second by a million units, and you're talking about serious time savings. And time is money, right?
Absolutely. So a better ejector system means more products faster and less waste.
You got it. It's a win-win.
Right.
And it shows how even small changes can make a big difference in the overall process.
Totally. Now let's talk about those guide pins again. We said the size is important for keeping the mold halves aligned. What happens if you use the wrong size?
Well, if the guide pin is too small, you can get misalignment, which means you'll get flash. That's when extra plastic squeezes out between the mold halves.
Like a puzzle piece that doesn't fit, right?
Exactly. And that extra plastic can mean you have to rework or even reject the whole batch.
Yikes. That's not good.
Nope. So yeah, undersized guide pins are a big problem. What about oversized pins?
I'm guessing that's not good either.
You're right. Forcing a big pin into a mold that's not designed for it can damage the mold itself.
Expensive repairs.
Yep. It can really mess things up. So yeah, precision is super important when it comes to guide pins.
I'm seeing that. It's like the whole process hinges on these tiny
It
details.
really does. All right, let's go back to the gating system for a sec. Remember we talked about different types of gates and how they affect the flow of plastic?
Yeah, the plastic plumbing. I'm ready for more.
Okay, so imagine you're watering your garden with a hose. If you use a nozzle with a wide opening, the water comes out gently. But if you use a nozzle with a small opening, the water comes out with more force.
Makes sense.
It's the same with the gating system. The size and shape of the gate control how the plastic flows into the mold.
So different gates for different products.
Yep. A small, intricate part might need a tiny gate, while a big, bulky part might need a wider gate.
The right tool for the job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if the gate isn't designed properly?
Oh, sounds like trouble.
It can be. One common problem is short shots. That's when the plastic doesn't completely fill the mold.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you end up with a half-formed product.
Pretty much. It's usually because the gate's too small or the flow path is blocked.
That's got to be frustrating.
It is. It wastes material and time. Another problem is air traps.
Air traps.
That's when air gets trapped inside the mold. It creates bubbles or voids in the final product.
So it weakens the product.
Yeah, and it can make it look bad too.
Yeah.
So yeah, the gating system is super important for making sure everything flows smoothly.
All right, what about those pulling rods you mentioned? What do they do?
The pulling rods, they're kind of the unsung heroes of the gating system. So
Yeah.
when the plastic cools and hardens, it can create a little plug of material inside the gate.
Like a clog.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And that clog needs to be removed before the next shot of plastic. So the pulling rods are there to pull it out.
Makes sense. So they keep the gate clear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Without them, you'd get all sorts of problems, like those short shots we talked about.
Okay, pulling rods are important. Got it. It's amazing how all these little things have to work together.
It's pretty cool, isn't it? Now let's talk more about those water baffles and how they work in the cooling system.
Yeah, those baffles sound pretty important.
They are. So remember those cooling channels that run through the mold? The baffles are inside those channels directing the flow of coolant.
Like little dams.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. They make sure the coolant flows evenly so the whole mold cools down at the same rate.
Prevents hot spots.
Exactly. And they can be designed in different ways depending on the mold. Some are simple deflectors, while others create more complex flow patterns.
It's like a science and an art all at the same time.
You got it. So what happens if those baffles aren't designed right?
I'm guessing it's not good.
You're right. One common problem is uneven cooling, which can lead to warping or weird dimensions in the product.
Like a cake that's half-baked.
Exactly. It's a mess.
Yeah.
Another problem is when the mold doesn't cool down fast enough.
Why would that happen?
It could be because the baffles aren't directing the coolant properly, so the heat doesn't get transferred away quickly enough.
So longer cycle times.
Yep. And it can even damage the mold itself if it gets too hot.
That's no good.
Not at all. So yeah, those water baffles are super important for keeping things cool and efficient.
I'm definitely seeing that now.
Good. It's all about understanding how these seemingly small details can make a big difference in the overall process.
Absolutely. It's been a real eye-opener.
I'm glad to hear it. So where do we go from here?
Well, we've talked a lot about the technical side of things, but I think it's important to connect it back to the bigger picture.
You're right. What do you have in mind?
Okay, so we've explored this whole world of mold components and gotten pretty technical. But let's bring it back to our listener. Why should someone who's not like a, engineer care about all this injection molding stuff?
That's a good question. I think the big takeaway is just realizing how much thought and effort goes into making those everyday plastic things we use. It's easy to take it for granted.
Right? Like we just see a plastic fork and don't think twice about it.
Exactly. But now we know there's a whole world of design and engineering behind that fork.
And hopefully a new appreciation for it.
Definitely. And it also makes you think about, the bigger picture, like sustainability.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We can't just keep making plastic without thinking about the environment.
Exactly. That's why the industry is moving towards more sustainable practices. Like those bioplastics we talked about, they're a good example of that.
Yeah, using renewable materials to make plastic is a huge step forward.
It is. And it's not just about materials. The whole manufacturing process is becoming more eco-friendly too.
So it's like a win-win. We get the products we need, but we're also taking care of the planet.
Exactly. So to wrap things up, let's leave our listener with something to think about. We've talked about the process, the importance of plastic products, the sustainability aspect, but what about the future of injection molding?
What's next? That's a great question.
Right. Like, what new materials are they going to come up with? How will automation and AI change the way things are made?
Right.
And will bioplastics become even more important?
So many possibilities.
It's an exciting time for sure.
It is. Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive into injection molding.
We hope you enjoyed it.
And remember, the next time you see a plastic product, take a second to think about all the amazing engineering that went into making it.
It's a pretty incredible process when you think about it.
It really is. Thanks for listening, everyone.